I wish you could see what I see from the stage as we sing, "Have Thine Own Way." And I can see from your eyes, from your faces, from your posture, from your countenance, that we are of one mind. And that is our prayer, that God would have his own way in us. Would you pray with me, please? As we prayed, "Have thine own way," would you continue that prayer now? And pray that God would open your heart and soften your heart, removing Satan's blinders from your eyes, and make you good soil for the word, that the word of God would go down deep and bear fruit in your heart 30, 60, and 100-fold. Pray that right now, just between you and the Lord. Would you pray right now for the other people in this room? That God would open their hearts, soften their hearts, remove Satan's blinders from their eyes, and make them good soil for the word of God, that the word of God would go down deep and bear fruit in their heart 30, 60, and 100-fold. Would you pray now for me that I would preach this sermon about this incredibly important topic accurately and therefore powerfully, that God would fill me with his Holy Spirit and allow me to be his vessel today. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of my heart be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen. You should have notes in your bulletin. As you know, by God's grace and for his glory, we have finished studying the book of Matthew. And what I have felt led to do is to do a short series, short meaning a matter of weeks, about the Holy Spirit. The series is called My Heart, Christ's Home. Michael Tyler will be preaching next week. I'll be on vacation. He will not be preaching on this series, correct? He will be preaching something else. He indicated that he'll be targeting the youth, but blessing everyone, so be sure and be on hand for that. We will pick up with My Heart, Christ's Home, Part 2 on August 28, if that is in fact a Sunday. All right, we're going to start out right immediately here. Number one in your notes, the Holy Spirit is God the Spirit, the third person of the Holy Trinity. The Holy Spirit is God the Spirit, the third person of the Holy Trinity. Quoting Bible scholar Wayne Grudem, God exists in three persons, yet he is one God. There is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. How do we know that the Holy Spirit is God? The Scriptures are the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit wrote the Scriptures. Only God can write the Word of God. The Holy Spirit guides us into all truth. Only God can do that. The Holy Spirit gives us spiritual life. Only God can do that. 1 Corinthians 3 says that because the Holy Spirit lives in my heart, I am God's temple. We know that the Holy Spirit is God because the fact that He lives in us makes us God's temple. The Holy Spirit is God the Spirit, the third person of the Holy Trinity. Number two in your notes, the Holy Spirit wrote the Bible. The Holy Spirit wrote the Bible. Listen to 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Paul reinforces this in 2 Peter 1:21. Listen to 2 Peter 1:21. For prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Matthew 22, Acts 28, Hebrews 3, many other places where the Bible quotes the Bible, it says, the Holy Spirit says, and then it quotes the passage. The Holy Spirit wrote the Bible. Number three in your notes. When you put your trust in Christ as your rescuer or savior, the Holy Spirit comes to live in your heart. When you put your trust in Christ as your rescuer or savior, the Holy Spirit comes to live in your heart. As you can see from your notes, I have overwhelmed you with scriptural support for this, because that is my goal today. I want you to know that the Bible teaches over and over and over and over again that when you put your trust in Christ as your rescuer, the Holy Spirit comes to live in your heart. Listen to Luke 11. Jesus says this: If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Listen to John 7, verses 37 through 39. On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. Verse 39. By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him would receive. All those who believe in Jesus receive the Holy Spirit. This becomes crystal clear in later on in the book of John. Would you turn with me to John 14? John 14. I'm in the same version as the Bible in the pew. So if you didn't bring your Bible, you can follow along with me in the New International Version. John 14, 15. If you love me, you will obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Jesus says, I will send you another counselor, the Spirit of truth. He will be in you. In Acts chapter 2, we have the beautiful story of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit is poured out on that day. Peter preaches the most wonderful sermon. And this is the end of his sermon. This is Acts 2:36 and following. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other disciples, Brothers, what shall we do? Listen to Peter's reply. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. If you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you receive the Holy Spirit. Paul makes this very clear in Galatians. Please join me in Galatians chapter 3. Paul is writing the book of Galatians to a church that is struggling with a question. Do we have to keep the law? Do we have to keep the law? Or are we saved by grace alone? Paul answers their question throughout the book. I highly recommend that you read the whole book of Galatians for your spiritual maturity. But listen to chapter 3. Or follow along with me, chapter 3, verse 1. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by observing the law or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish? After beginning with the Spirit, are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort? Have you suffered so much for nothing, if it really was for nothing? Does God give you His Spirit and work miracles among you because you observe the law or because you believe what you heard? Paul's point is crystal clear. We receive the Holy Spirit not by works, but by putting our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. He sums it up in verse 14, Galatians 3:14. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. Turn over one page to Galatians 4. Paul continues, Galatians 4, verse 4. But when the time had fully come, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive the full rights as sons. Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts. The Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has made you also an heir. By faith, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts. If you've trusted Christ, if you have trusted Christ as Savior, the Holy Spirit lives in your heart. This is crystal clear in 1 Corinthians. Would you please join me in 1 Corinthians chapter 3? We're going to look at one verse. First Corinthians 3:16. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you? Number 4 in your notes. Believers are God's temple because God's Spirit lives in them. What does it mean to you? What does it mean to you that Christ lives in your heart? How does that make you feel? What does it mean? What does it actually mean that Christ lives in our hearts? Number 5 in your note, in your notes. The Holy Spirit in my heart means I am loved. The Holy Spirit in my heart means I am loved. One of my life verses, one of my favorite verses, is Romans 5:5. And hope does not disappoint, because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom He has given us. God loves you. And He has poured His love into your heart by the Holy Spirit. How does that make you feel? Secondly, in your notes, the Holy Spirit in my heart means I am adopted into God's family. Please join me in Romans chapter 8. Romans 8. You might want to keep your finger in Romans 8 because we'll go back there a little later on this morning. Romans 8:15. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the Spirit of sonship. And by Him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Paul calls the Holy Spirit the Spirit of sonship. All those who have the Holy Spirit are children of God. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Let's pick it up with verse 18, with my apologies to the smartphone users. Smartphone users, you're going to pick up with verse 21. But just listen to verse 18. But as surely as God is faithful, 2 Corinthians 1:18. As surely as God is faithful, our message to you is not yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by me and Silas and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in Him it has always been yes. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through Him the Amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. Now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, set His seal of ownership on us, and put his Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Incredible. Number 7 in your notes. The Holy Spirit in our hearts is God's seal of ownership on us. You're in 2 Corinthians. Turn over one page to chapter 5. Number 8 in your notes, we saw from 2 Corinthians 1, 22, but we're going to see it again in 2 Corinthians 5. Now we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. For while we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened, because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Now it is God who made us for this very purpose, and has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Number 8 in your notes, the Holy Spirit in our hearts is God's guarantee of our future salvation. Paul says the same thing in Ephesians 1:13. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. Number 9 in your notes. The Holy Spirit in my heart means I am united with Christ. United with Christ. You're in 2 Corinthians. Turn just a few pages back to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul is talking about sexual immorality. Why should we be sexually pure? Listen to this. 1 Corinthians 6, 15. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ himself? Shall I then take the members of Christ and unite them with a prostitute? Never. Do you not know that he who unites himself with a prostitute is one with her in body? For it is said the two will become one flesh. But he who unites himself with the Lord is one with him in spirit. Flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a man commits are outside his body, but he who sins sexually sins against his own body. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you've received from God? You are not your own. You are bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. Why should we flee from sexual sin? Why should I flee from sexual sin? Because my body is Christ's home. I'm united with Christ in spirit. Number 10 in your notes. The Holy Spirit in our hearts means we belong to each other. We belong to each other. Listen to 1 Corinthians 12, 13. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given one Spirit to drink. Ephesians 4, 3 through 6. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. We belong to each other. The Holy Spirit that lives in my heart, the same Holy Spirit lives in yours too. That means we are family. I'm wearing a bracelet. You probably can't see this from where you are. It looks like barbed wire. It's really rubber. And it says, one with them. One with them. I'm wearing this bracelet because my brothers and sisters on the other side of the world who share my faith are imprisoned and beaten and abused and persecuted. And that's my family. It's my family. I have these bracelets in my office. If you will pray for the persecuted church, I'd be happy to give you a bracelet. 11, in your notes, the Holy Spirit in my heart means I am empowered to live a victorious Christian life. The Holy Spirit in my heart means I am empowered to live a victorious Christian life. I think that says hearts. That's my fault. It should be singular heart. Please join me in Romans 8. Hopefully you left your finger there. Romans 8, 1 through 4. Romans 8, verse 1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sin nature, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so He condemns sin in sinful man in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. The law cannot make you holy. The law simply shows you your sin. So what God did, according to Romans 8, is this wonderful thing. He gave you the law, and then when we failed to keep the law, we repent and we trust in Christ, and then He gives you the Spirit. Now, you can live a victorious Christian life. Look at verse 12 in Romans 8. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. We have a theme verse for this sermon series, for the sermon series My Heart, Christ's Home. And that theme verse is one I'd like you all to memorize, keep in your heart. It is Galatians 2:20. Would you turn there with me, please?